I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings, friends. This is John Lawrence, the Director of Ministry here at the International Board of Jewish Missions and your host for our daily broadcast. IBJM began making annual mission trips to the Ukraine way back in 1992, shortly after the collapse of the Soviet Union. The response was overwhelmingly fruitful there. Many were saved, including many Jewish people. Igor Shaposhnikov, a young Jewish man, converted to his Messiah during that very first campaign. And he has been a successful businessman in the Ukraine for some time. Recently, he was appointed as a full-time IBJM missionary there in his own country. Several of our missionaries have made frequent trips to the Ukraine and have significant ties to the churches there. Others have taught in Bible institutes in that country. There is still a large Jewish community in the Ukraine, concentrated in four cities, Kiev, Dnepropetrovsk, Kharkov, and Odessa. The Jewish community in Kiev dates back to the 10th century. The country has often been densely populated with Jewish people, but the Ukraine also has a sad history of persecuting the Jewish people because of fear and poor economic conditions. After the fall of the Soviet Union, more than 200,000 Ukrainian Jews quickly made Aliyah, leaving for Israel. Jewish community life is much more close-knit in the Ukraine than in Russia. Jewish day schools are there. Publications, cultural centers have been established. The International Solomon University in Kiev has a department now of Jewish history and culture. We now have two full-time missionary families in the Ukraine and two other dedicated single women who are on deputation to go there. But others are still needed. We need more missionaries for this great country. And because of IBJM's contacts in this country, there are ripe opportunities to work with churches and Bible institutes in several cities to advance Jewish missions and evangelism. With the new Ukrainian government, of course, the climate has been much more receptive to the ministry of Western missionaries in more recent years. There are now some wide open doors. Jewish people are often more open to the gospel as well than they are in Western countries. Missionaries are urgently needed for these big Ukrainian cities. Others could be added to our team in the Ukraine. Is the Lord perhaps calling you to take the gospel to the Jewish people of the Ukraine? This is another perfect example of a country where there are great opportunities to reach Jewish people for Jesus, their Messiah. But few laborers are willing to go. That's always the problem. No doubt why Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. Will you pray that prayer today? And you know, sometimes people who pray that prayer, they are the very ones that the Lord will call to go. As with many Eastern European nations, who knows how long the door will remain open there? So now is the time. Maybe you are the person to go. IBJM sponsors a mission trip to the Ukraine every 2 years, so plan to join us. Give us a call here at area code 423-876-8150 if you might be interested in the work in the Ukraine, and we would love to hear from you. Now, let's turn to Brother Mark Oshman today for our Bible message.
Welcome to this final session in our radio Bible study about the goodness and the severity of God. Over the course of the 9th through the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, God revealed himself as sovereign, showing benevolence to some and passing judgment on others as he saw fit. Paul ended Romans chapter 11 by praising God. He began by exclaiming, quote, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God," unquote. The apostle thereby acknowledged the supremacy of two divine attributes, wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge entailed the possession of the acquaintance of a set of facts or principles. Facts or principles which come either through innate understanding or through being taught about them. For example, babies intuitively understand that they need to cry aloud if they want to attract attention to get their needs met. When such babies grow older, however, they need to learn how to select the appropriate words they require to gain the appropriate reactions from others. Divine knowledge, though, differs from human knowledge. God's knowledge, unlike human knowledge, God's knowledge is perfect, and it is not subject to flaws. The extent of God's learning has no limits, whether they be spatial or temporal. Since God is omniscient, he does not need to inquire information from other sources through education. As Job asks in the 21st chapter of that book, quote, "Shall any teach God knowledge?" unquote. Wisdom involved the skillful application of facts or principles that constituted knowledge. Individuals acquire wisdom through instruction by others and through means of personal application. However, what passes for human wisdom may contain internal contradictions. Consider these two human proverbs, "Look before you leap," and "He who hesitates is lost." On the surface, they contradict one another, yet both statements reflect the application of human wisdom to a specific situation, namely, whether or not to undertake an action. Such for human wisdom. Divine wisdom does not contain such ambiguity. The wisdom that God retains and imparts to men remains consistent, consistent from culture to culture and from age to age. Throughout the Bible, God demonstrated the extent of his knowledge. For example, he confronted Job by challenging him to answer a series of questions relating to creation. Job was not able to do so and acknowledged that God's knowledge exceeded his own. God manifested the depth of his wisdom throughout the Bible as well. According to Proverbs chapter 2, God is the source of wisdom. And according to Jeremiah chapter 10, God established the world by wisdom. The wisdom that God bestowed upon the world differed from the wisdom of the world. Paul described the wisdom of the world in 1 Corinthians 3 as foolishness. In the third chapter of James, that writer described the wisdom of God as, quote, "pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy," unquote. Paul went on in Romans chapter 11 to praise God by pointing out, quote, "How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out," unquote. Years before Paul ever penned those words, Zophar the Naamathite asked in the book of Job, quote, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" Unquote. No is the correct answer to both questions. As Moses pointed out in the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy, quote, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God." Unquote. Men, with their limited minds, cannot comprehend the ways of an unlimited God. As God declared in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, quote, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Unquote. If any human being could fully understand God and God's deeds, that individual would himself have omniscience, an attribute reserved only for God. Paul went on to ask this question in Romans chapter 11, quote, "Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?" Unquote. The apostle perhaps paraphrased these passages from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, where that prophet wrote, quote, "Who hath the Spirit directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?" Unquote. Now and then, though, people did try to advise God as to what action to undertake. This occurred in Matthew chapter 16, When Jesus Christ spoke about his impending crucifixion and resurrection, Peter rebuked him, telling his Lord, quote, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not happen unto thee," unquote. How did Jesus Christ reply? He told Peter, quote, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men," unquote. Peter, with his finite understanding, did not have the wherewithal to reprove Jesus Christ, the omniscient Son of God, when Jesus Christ determined to follow the counsel and will of his heavenly Father. Paul continued with his poem of praise in Romans chapter 11 by asking another question. Quote, "Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again?" Unquote. What indeed can human beings give God that he does not already possess? David responded to that question in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 29. As that king gathered offerings for the construction of the temple, David asked God, quote, "Who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" Unquote. David recognized on that occasion, quote, "All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee," unquote. God reiterated the similar principle in the third chapter of Malachi. The Jews who returned from the Babylonian captivity had failed to give him their tithes and offerings, as the Mosaic law required them to do. Because of that omission, God cursed the Jewish nation for robbing him. Yet he gave them this promise in Malachi 3. Quote, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it," unquote. God promised that if the Jewish nation gave him what he was due, he would see to it that they prospered materially. Paul also taught Christians that no one could give God more than God could give them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the apostle spoke about an offering to relieve the suffering believers at Jerusalem. He exhorted the congregation at Corinth, quote, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver," unquote. If the Corinthian believers did give cheerfully, Paul continued, quote, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work," unquote. Paul concluded his poem in Romans 11 by writing these words, quote, "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." God provides everything, sustains everything, and created everything for himself. God provided everything to the human race. As he declared in the 50th Psalm, quote, "The world is mine, and the fullness thereof," unquote. Since God owns all things and gives all things, nobody has the right to claim that he gave God more than God gave him. God gives things to man. Paul asked the Corinthian believers this question in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Quote, "What hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Unquote. Since all things come through God, God retains the right to give whatever he wants to give, to whomever he wants to give it to. Furthermore, God made all things for himself. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul wrote that, quote, "All things were created by him and for him," unquote. This statement referred to Jesus Christ. Since God created everything to fulfill his purposes, he retains the right to use these things to fulfill his purposes. Paul closed his discourse by remarking, quote, "To whom be glory forever. Amen." Jesus Christ ended his presentation of the Lord's Prayer in similar words, quote, "For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." Jesus Christ and Paul both recognized that God alone deserves to receive glory. With this, we conclude our series about the goodness and the severity of God. We invite you to please join us for future radio Bible studies.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.